us. Christmas, as you know, Christmas is not always fun for everyone all the time. If you have any loss in your life related to the loved ones, then sometimes Christmas and other holidays can be painful, right? Think about some of those people that meant something to you and your family, and when the holidays kind of roll in, it gets more and more challenging. And sometimes I think that you and I face phases in our life that we talked about last week, where we're kind of listening for God and we're trusting that God is going to do something, and he makes us wait. And his people waited for him for centuries, and we now wait for his return. And it sometimes, every few years, it feels like a whole nother century. And God, whether you're suffering grief because you've lost someone or you're just waiting for the next step in your own life, sometimes God can feel distant. And today, here's what we're going to look at, that in fact, even when God seems distant, he very well can be trusted to faithfully care for his people. So God seems distant, but when he seems distant, he can be trusted to care for his people. Let's look at Mark chapter 1. If you have a Bible with you, turn to Mark chapter 1. If you have devices, you can link over. If you don't have either, you can certainly rely on the screen behind me. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, "Look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him.'" And Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. Matthew 3, verse 3. The prophet Isaiah, when he prophesied centuries before, was speaking about John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him.'" There's a phrase in the intelligence community that goes like this: going dark. Going dark. And the implications of the phrase "going dark" is that there were people that we were listening in on who were communicating, and at some point or other, their communication stopped. In other words, those who we were spying on or those who we were eavesdropping on went dark. No more talking. In the intelligence community, usually a bad sign. Usually a bad sign. Similar to the feeling that I remember having when, years ago, Raquel and I were expecting twins, and before the twins were old enough in the womb to survive a delivery, Raquel went into early preterm labor, and we delivered the twins and couldn't sustain their life outside the womb, and they passed away. And I remember the weeks to follow and what added up to be months to follow, where we were kind of leaning into God to try to figure out, what do we do? What do we make of this? I tried to avoid, how many of you remember a tragedy in your own life? You try to avoid the why questions, right? Not sure it was going to be helpful to know why, other than as the scriptures reveal to us that our lives are loaded with hardship and sinfulness, and our bodies are broken down until finally one day God renews everything. But I remember some of those weeks and some of those months to come, and I know Raquel will probably be even feel this even more vividly, felt this more vividly at the time, that it was difficult during those months of grief to hear God communicating to us. Very difficult. And some people would say things like, "You just gotta trust the Lord. You go back to the Bible here and you just trust him and you just read it." And I remember thinking that even while I was reading, even while I was leaning in, and even while I was listening, it was extremely difficult to hear God saying anything back or communicating anything back. In fact, I remember talking to Raquel several times, and we agreed that it was even hard to want to read the Bible. As much as our spiritual loved ones were urging us to, it was difficult. And Another time that we experienced what felt like God had gone dark was in between churches. We had led at one church for a long, long time, and we were ready for the next phase of church leadership, and we were between churches and just kind of asking God to give us some direction one way or other, and guess what it felt like? It felt like God had gone dark on us. No specifics, no generalities, no direction, no next steps for us. And it has, since then, it has occurred to me that when we're expecting to hear something from God and we don't, when we're expecting God to give us direction, when we're expecting God to give us comfort, when we're expecting God to kind of intervene and do something when we need him, and sometimes when he doesn't, we can feel alone and we ask the very reasonable question, where's God? Where is God? Now, be honest with the pastor. How many of you have ever asked the question, where in the world is God? Would you raise your hand? Have you ever asked that question? Where is he? I'm in tune. I've got my eyes open. I want to know where he's at work, and I don't know where he's at work. I feel alone because God is not intervening and working. And sometimes what we're facing hurts us, and God goes dark on us, and we feel like we need to know. And if we just could just get a little bit of clarity on what he's doing, it would make everything feel better. What in the world is God doing? And then for others, you're looking for direction. God isn't providing direction, and you feel like, man, I am just lost. I don't know what step to take next. What am I supposed to do, and why won't God show me what to do next? And I wonder, how did God's people feel? Imagine this, the Old Testament. You've got a Bible in your hand, some of you. The Old Testament loaded with prophetic promises. The prophets of God were speaking the words of God to God's people, and he was speaking on behalf of God, and they were making promises. And then, at a certain point in the history of God's people, the prophets went dark. God's voice unheard. For centuries, they were anticipating God would continue to speak to them. And I wonder if God's people felt abandoned. I wonder if they felt alone. I wonder if they felt forgotten. And you know what? If you feel alone, abandoned, and forgotten, you know what starts to happen next? A little bit of anger, a little bit of resentment. How come this God of ours is no longer tending to us? How come he's no longer speaking to us like he has? And eventually you feel powerless and resentful and perhaps even betrayed and bitter. And here's the issue. Here's the problem. And I want you to tune in right here. If you've missed everything thus far, listen to this. It's easiest to lose our hope in God when we can't hear, see, or sense him working in our lives. This is why this is an issue. Because when you can't see, hear, or sense that God's at work in your life, it is the most vital phase where you and I are vulnerable to lose our hope. I don't hope in God because I don't hear from God. And if I can't hear from God, I've lost my hope in God, and we find ourselves beginning to drift away and hoping in other things. You might have loved ones who have lost their hope in God, and they've lost their hope in God because they've asked the very simple question, I just don't see him, I don't hear him, I don't sense him. I know you do, and I'm thankful that you do, and to each his own, but I don't. And when we can't hear, see, or sense God working in our lives, when it feels like God has given us the silent treatment, when we're desperate to hear from God, but he doesn't answer us, this is what happens. We kind of drift away into dry and dark seasons of life. God seems quiet. We just can't hear him communicating to us. And there's an ongoing struggle that we're facing when we have grown deaf to God and we've grown distant from God and we feel like we're lost in the dark. Now, here's the question. How can God's people, and I consider ourselves part of God's people, how can we remain faithful to a God who is silent? How can we remain faithful to a God who has stopped speaking to us? And how can his people in the Old Testament and the ancient culture of God's people, the Israelites, how can they remain faithful to God when he goes dark for centuries? How is that even possible? What kind of God forgets about his people and abandons them when they need him the most? What kind of father allows his children to endure this depth of pain and absence? Now, here's the good news. The good news is this. every single person can grow with God, can still grow with God when he seems silent. And here's how. By listening to both his promises and his people. You don't have to fall down when it seems like God has gone dark. And imagine this picture in your mind. It is the most dangerous to walk, to move in the dark. And every now and then I experience this the hard way, trying to navigate from my bedroom to the kitchen in the middle of the night for whatever reason, ice cream, whatever reason that there is that would bring me down into the kitchen in the middle of the night. And I take the risk, ice cream, of not turning the light on. So get up out of bed, leave the lights out, don't want to disturb anyone or be caught, and venture down the hallway. Well, we have these things about knee-high called laundry baskets in our house. And every now and then a laundry basket ends up in the hallway, and I discover it the hard way. I discover it by landing in it and on it, or kicking it. See, if you kick it, that's even worse, because you kick it ahead just a little bit for the next leg to hit it, and then down you go. Let me point out that when it's dark, God isn't communicating to us. We can't see our next step. We don't know what to do next and where God's leading us next. We are at risk in our own heart and our own soul for quite a bit of damage. Let me put it this way. We're at risk to fall away from God when we used to trust God. And the reason is because it's dark and we don't know what to do next and we don't hear God speaking to us. And it's dangerous to try to make progress in the dark. And the same thing is true spiritually. But you don't have to fall down when it feels like God has gone dark. When you can't hear, or when you can't see, or when you can't sense God, God is still able, listen, God is still able to lead us back to himself. You have this in your notes. In order to do that, in order for God to lead him back to himself, lead us back to himself, God has always faithfully kept his promises and sent us his people. He has always kept his promises faithfully, and so compassionately God has sent us his people. And even when it seemed like God was absent, here's what God was doing. God was faithfully, for all those centuries, when God wasn't speaking anything new, God was keeping his promises. God had made promises, and he was tending to those promises, and he was keeping those promises. And after many generations, the voices of the prophets had stopped, and there was only silence. Nothing from God. And you gotta wonder that his people must have thought, God cannot possibly see the way that the people of God were being oppressed, were being occupied, the way that the people of God's hearts were wandering away to worship other gods. And the people who were faithful to God must have wondered, does God not see us? There's no way he could possibly hear us because he's gone silent, and he certainly would be intervening if he were to see the condition of his people. For 400 years, the people of God waited and wondered. How many of you feel like 4 days waiting on anything is a long time? 4 months? 4 years? What about 400 years? God's people thought, surely God has abandoned us. Does he not see the anguish and the heartache of his people? But the years, the centuries of silence were broken when God sent an angel to a priest named Zechariah. And the angel visited with Zechariah when Zechariah was alone. Let me tell you how Zechariah got alone. How did Zechariah end up alone where the angel can visit him? Hundreds of priests every year would cast lots, and the winner would be the one designated to enter into the temple and make sacrifices to God, and they would do so alone. And that particular year, Zechariah had cast lots and had won, and he alone, among all the hundreds of other priests, was designated to go into the temple to make sacrifices for God. And somehow, that particular season, it was Zechariah who ended up with the lucky win. And when he ended up in that temple by himself, an angel visited him, and an angel said to him that, Zechariah, you and your wife Elizabeth will have a son. And really the most unbelievable part of what the angel was saying was that God was going to provide a child to a wife who had long passed her childbearing years and was barren. And if you know anything about the ancient culture, barrenness was a source of shame. It was a sign of being abandoned by God. It was a sign of worthlessness. It was a sign of cultural, maybe even rejection. And here Elizabeth was being chosen as the one who was barren. And I can't help but think that Elizabeth was barren, meaning lacking life, much like his own people were barren and lacking life. But God was going to make a way here, and in fact, Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, would have a son, and their son would be named John. God broke his silence by compassionately sending a person to his people. Listen, there was all of this silence. God was continuing to keep his promises that he was going to provide a healing, and he was prophesying through Isaiah, and Isaiah was saying to God's people, there will be someone who arrives, appointed by God, and he will guide us to the Redeemer, the Rescuer. And God made that promise, and God kept that promise centuries later, after Isaiah had prophesied it, by providing a child in the womb of Elizabeth. And though God had stopped speaking, God has always kept for himself and for his purposes a handful of people who never forgot and never turned their back on him. The great silence was the prequel to the most unlikely revolutionary act of love that the world has ever known. And when the great silence ended, a whole new era dawned. And history proves that God is continually, constantly, and every day faithful to keep his promises. And so this helps us to accept that God might take longer to answer than we think he should. That if you're waiting on God to kind of break through and say something to you, remember that he is already working somewhere, and he's probably working somewhere more than you think he is. And there's a really good chance that he is going to be answering you, but he's going to be answering you differently than we think he should. Back when Raquel and I were dating, back when things were still in 16-bit, like Atari and Sega, as well as 64-bit by the time I got out of college. And do you remember when you would make a phone call and the telephone company would bill you? Do you remember that? You make a long distance call and you'd get a bill. You remember that? 10 cents a minute. That's where we were at. So to ease the budget, Raquel would call me once and I would call her once when we were dating long distance. She was in New York and I was in Oklahoma, and we would make calls. I would call once a week, she would call once a week. It would cost us about $12 because we would monitor about an hour, of course. And so in between time, we didn't talk. In between time, we didn't get a chance to hear one another speaking to each other. And we found something that helped us and that comforted us in between time. And I'll speak for myself. When I knew that it was going to be a few more days before Raquel and I could talk and we could hear from one another, I would go back to the letters that she had written and really find a great deal of comfort being able to hear from her based on what she had already said. She'd already written. And I would skip to the parts where she talked about how terrific I was. Sometimes it was like, what the, this is, she's gonna have to send me, where was that one when we first started dating, where was that? But what she had already said was of great comfort when I didn't get a chance to hear her say something new, and when I couldn't hear her voice. And here's what I want you to consider. Consider that sometimes the greatest comfort we can find in God is not waiting for him to say something new. It's in finding comfort and strength in what he's already said to us. And in fact, let me share with you two real simple ways how you can keep going when God seems to keep quiet. When God is quiet and it just seems like he is decided to keep quiet, how can you keep going? How can you keep obeying? How can you keep worshiping? Number one, listen for God's voice to appear in his promises. See this? This right here? This is an entire book of promises that God has made. It's an entire journal and letter and guide and roadmap, and it is a document that comes to life in our souls because it's the Word of God who has revealed himself to us, and in it is an entire book of promises. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean? It means that you have an entire book of promises, so you always know what God is saying to you. You always know what God is saying to you, which means you never have to say this. You never have to say, I don't know what God is saying. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what he wants me to hear and understand and believe and receive. I don't know what God is saying, because the truth is God has already spoken and he's provided all of these words of life to bring an abundance in our own soul as it relates to knowing and understand what the intentions are of God. There's a whole book of promises, and we don't have to wait for him to say something new because he has said plenty already. And you can find hope in the Word. You can find promise. There's 41. If you just type in a Bible reference software, the promises of God, you'll find at least 41 promises that God has made. And God is faithful to keep his promises. He's always kept his promises. And you never have to miss what God has already said to you because you're waiting for him to say something new. So if you're waiting for God to say something new and he seems to have gone dark, let me turn your attention back to what he's already said. Here's what you'll discover. God said, I will provide hope for you. Hope. That's one of his promises, hope. How many of you find strength just knowing that you have hope, that you don't, that even though you die, you don't really die? How many of you have found something encouraging about the knowledge that God has given us of himself? God has revealed himself. He's given us knowledge of himself. He has already spoken, and he's given us strength. If you got up this morning in shelter, and you didn't walk here, and you're wearing handful of articles of clothing, God has provided for you. God's promises, he's keeping his promises to provide for you the material blessings. And ultimately, one day, God has promised us victory. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Here's another way. I mean, this is another example of how you can keep going when God keeps quiet. You've got two blanks there. Rehearse and remember these promises, personally and corporately. Rehearse them and remember them. Rehearse them and remember them. The author of Hebrews says, let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. And I gotta warn you, you can't. It is difficult to keep going when God has gone silent. It's difficult if the only time that you hear, remember, and celebrate the promises that God has made in the Word on Sunday morning, right? Some of you have learned this. It is very difficult to keep going when God seems like he's decided to keep silent. It's difficult to keep going if the only time you rehearse and remember the promises of God are on Sunday morning. Now, it helps for sure, but this is something you do personally when you study them. This is something you do corporately, then you get together and you sing about them and you celebrate them. And it also helps us to remember that when you learn what God has actually promised, it helps you avoid trusting in promises that God never made. Let me give you an example. God helps those who help themselves. God never promised that. God didn't say, hey, if you start helping yourself, I'm going to come along and help you. Now, there's some principles that are true like that related to work, right? He who doesn't work doesn't eat. So you keep working and you find that there is provision. But overall, let me tell you this, God helps those who helps themselves is religion. It's the opposite of the gospel. The gospel is when you discover you can't help yourself. I can't save myself. I can't do enough to be good enough to be acceptable by God. And therefore, what God is demanding is that we come to the end of our effort and say, I can't do this on my own. And eventually you renounce all that you've done and you turn and embrace and you've repented and you then begin to cling to and trust in all that God has done for you. So we have to be careful that when we're learning to listen to God, that we're trusting in promises that he's actually made to us. I've got another one for you, and this might, you know, when you go home, you might have to take down this poster that's hanging in your bedroom that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that a promise? Of course it's a promise, but listen, it doesn't mean achievement, success, and victory. These athletes on television, I love them, especially if there's a star on their helmet. I love them, and I know that God has prepared them separately and uniquely to run to the end and win the Super Bowl. I know that, but when these athletes say, and they tattoo it on their body somewhere, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a part of me that winces, and here's why. Because it doesn't mean that God has given you the strength to succeed, overcome, and win a victory. What it means is God is enough to sustain you through the hardships of all of your life. He's enough. I can do all things does not mean I can accomplish. It means I can thrive in the hardship and the agony and the pain of waiting for God to finally come back and renew and redeem his people. Here's the thing. We have to know what the promises are. We have to trust in what those promises that have been recorded for us. And we have to be accurately understand what God has actually said. Now, let me give you, before we move on here to the next one, let me give you what God has said. Let me summarize all of God's promises. All of God's promises. No, let me put it this way. Let me summarize what the Bible says to you. If you are find yourself in a phase of life where you're just looking for direction, God, would you just speak to me, say something, where am I supposed to go, what am I supposed to do? Let me alert you to this. It is most likely true that God doesn't want you to do something, but God has a way in which he wants you to do it. Because God's will tends to be about who you are and how you do it, not necessarily what you're supposed to do. I mean, how many of you have been trapped in a phase of your life looking for direction, what's my next step, and it never really seems to come? I got an opinion on that. It's because I believe that God has placed you where you're at, and no matter what you're doing, God cares more about how you're doing it and who you are becoming while you're doing it. In other words, let me give you an example. I don't think there's ever a case where God isn't saying this to us, worship only me. Worship only me. He has always saying this to us. In the middle of your dark phase where you feel like you're not sure you're going to be able to keep going because God has some reason decided to keep quiet, God is always saying, trust me. He's always saying, worship me alone, and he's always saying, trust me and me alone. He's always saying, obey me. And you say, God, I love you, and God says, I know you do, and the evidence of that is that you obey me. So God is always saying, worship me, trust me, and obey me. And he's always, 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 by the work of his Spirit, saying, and treasure my son, Jesus. So if you're looking for God to speak to you today, let me turn you back to what he's already said. So maybe he isn't saying anything new to you, but let me tell you what he's already said. Worship me alone. Trust me alone. He is saying, obey me. He's saying, treasure my son. And if you're trying to figure out what to do, let me tell you what God said. There's two great commandments. He said, love me and love other people. So if you don't know what to do in the middle of the dark, I already know what God said to you. It's very clear. He said the same thing to me. Love me with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others the same way you love yourself. Elevate the needs and the interests of others over yourself. Now, if you stop and look around, you'll also notice that God continues to keep his promises. He continues to be at work doing things that remind us that he can be trusted. Every year around the world, there's an annual harvest. Everything that has been planted is harvested every year. How does that happen? It happens because God faithfully brings harvest. The changing seasons are so faithful. The daily sunrise. Occasionally here in Syracuse, we have a sunrise. The sun comes up and covers us with daylight, and then we're able to see that God is faithfully keeping his promises. Okay, number two, look for God's care to appear through his people. Look for God's care to appear through his people. So, number one, you're listening for God's voice to appear in his promises. And number two, look for God's care to appear through his people. Now, you may have heard of John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist. John the Baptist was God's answer to the centuries of prayer of his people. His people were looking for God to answer them, to bring relief, and God doesn't send Jesus right away. Instead, he sends a guide. He, by the work of his angel, he visits Zechariah, and he says to Zechariah, you're going to have a son, and it's going to be your wife who was barren, and she's going to deliver this baby called John the Baptist, and he is going to prepare the way for Jesus. So listen to this. In the middle of the dark, when people are waiting for God to do something, he intervenes by sending a person. He works in the life of his people by fulfilling another promise, specifically a person that was sent by the compassion of God and the very one who will prepare the way for Jesus. And I wonder if you think back about how you ended up in God's family. How many of you would say you could think of a person who helped you discover who Jesus is? Would you raise your hand? How many of you, there's somebody who helped guide you to God? And it's because, here's the reason, because God doesn't just work by faithfully keeping his promises, but regularly God sends a person to help prepare the way for us to connect the dots between what in the world is the meaning of life and why am I here and who is this God? Eventually someone comes along and helps us connect the dots. And God will help us point us to and wave us over to the path towards God. So here's what you have in your notes. It just is a matter of taking the time to see and receive the people that he is sending to you as his way of caring for you. So you might feel alone and distant and you're wondering if God is going to ever intervene. Can I ask you to consider something? Would you consider just looking around every now and then, in taking an inventory and ask yourself this question, has God sent someone to me who is helping to represent him? I think some of us, when we want God to work, we want thunder and lightning and we want the sky to crack open and we want some, in fact, I hear people tell me this all the time. They describe some superstitious whatsoever that's happened to them when they were in the grocery store and they happened to see there was a light flashing and the light that was flashing on checkout 12 was the number 1-2, which happened to be the date that their loved one passed away. It was on the 12th of the 12th month and it was 12 years ago and they say, oh God, thank you for working. And I say, that's superstitious. You know how God works? God provides somebody to open their arms to you and take you as you are and doesn't make you become someone different in order to be loved. Somebody is gracious with you. Somebody shows mercy to you. Somebody receives you and prays for you. And somebody holds on to you and helps meet some of your needs. And somebody is providing for you in small ways or encouraging you in your own spirit. That's how God faithfully demonstrates his care to us. He sends us people. Be careful that you don't reject the very, very answer to your own prayers by keeping people out and keeping people away because you're afraid of what they're going to say to you or think of you or do to you. Because God might be trying to send his care to you, and he's doing so through his people. John is also a great example of the role we play in our children's lives and the lives of people around us where we are helping our kids discover who God is. So, here's you got this in your notes here, you can read along with me. As long as you cherish, right? So in your own heart, as long as you cherish the word of God, you'll always hear the voice of God. As long as you cherish the word of God, you'll always hear the voice of God. Secondly, as long as you cherish the people of God, you'll always feel the love of God. Thirdly, as long as you cherish the Spirit of God, you'll always see the face of God. What does that mean? It means that the Spirit is always at work showing us Jesus, revealing who he is. So as long as you cherish the Spirit of God, he'll be at work helping us to see who Jesus is. Now, I want to drop something on you that might be hard to accept, and I hope that this becomes clear. You know those times where I was just describing, think of God's people who endured centuries of no response. I mean, here these people are, if you can imagine in modern terms, these people are kind of text messaging God and they never get any reply. It's always on one side there of the kind of message bubble. It's always them saying, God, where are you? There's nothing. God doesn't call them back. God doesn't reply to their texts. God doesn't like any of their posts. It's like he's just gone dark. Okay? Imagine that. For 400 years. Now, I want to drop this one on you. What if it's possible that those phases of life where God goes dark, he keeps quiet. What if those are a gift? What if it's a gift? And here's what I mean. What if it's during the darkest phases of our life that we have the greatest awareness to our need for God? How many of you can remember a time in your life where you were enduring something dark, brokenheartedness, a betrayal of your trust, a violation of your innocence? You had grown severely disappointed in the way that your life was going and your life was turning out, and you felt like God was distant, things had gone dark, and you were alone. And here's what I wonder, and I think we can find this throughout the text of the scriptures. It occurs to me that those phases of our life might be a gift from God to help us discover that apart from the work of God, apart from the truth of God, and apart from a hope in God, then we find ourselves trusting in ourselves. So think of those moments and phases of your life where he has kind of gone quiet. Think of our need for God as a gift from God. When we need him, it's quite possibly a gift that has come directly from him. It's possible that God orchestrates and allows events to develop in our lives that remind us of our great need for him. So anytime you're facing a hardship, aloneness, darkness, silence from God, it's quite possible that God has orchestrated that to help us discover, I really need him. I really need him. And if you've raised any children or grandchildren, you know that there are plenty of times where you can kind of let them kind of drift away on their own so they learn their lesson and then they come back. Say, I really can't do this. I really need your help. From the moment that Adam and Eve were deceived, all the way back in the beginning of the garden, they were deceived into believing that they didn't need God anymore, and a war was waged for the hearts and minds of humanity. Does God give us the gift of silence? It seems as if God intentionally establishes moments and he reveals the depth of our great need and then his overwhelming sufficiency to meet every need. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your never-ending, never-giving-up love for us, even in our constant rebellion, choosing ourselves. You still pursued us. You made a way back to you. And when it seems silent, there's hope, God. Remind us that there is hope, that you're faithfully keeping your promises and you're always sending your care through your people. Give us courage to trust you while we wait. Stir our affections that we may tie our heartstrings really to you and to you alone, because you're our only hope. Your love holds everything together. We hope in you, we trust in you, we wait for you, but we also acknowledge that you're at work. Thank you for all of the promises that you never fail to keep, and thank you for all the people that you never fail to that you never withhold, that you always faithfully and compassionately send us. We trust you today in Jesus' strong name.